And a pleasant good day to you. This is Carl White calling in and letting you know that we're live here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Can We Be Real, another episode of Can We Be Real. And today we're talking about exit, stage left, how to overcome domestic violence. This is Carl White. I'm also known as Help Somebody, and that's what I live to do, to help somebody. You can find me on Twitter at Help Somebody or on Facebook, Carl with a K, last name White, Help Somebody. And the website, helpsomebody.net. We're going to jump right in because we've got a wonderful guest on the line to join us this morning. And we're going to talk this morning about domestic violence and abuse. It is something that is not often spoke about, and it's often hidden. It's often something that is not real popular. But there is help, and I just wanted to do this show this morning because silence is not the answer, and too many people are abused on a regular basis. We want to break the silence, and we want to give you opportunities that you can make a difference, not only for those who are abused, but also for the abuser, because they can't have one without the other. And there is a hotline for help. You can call this hotline anytime you like. You can even visit their website. I looked on the web, and in 0.5 seconds, I got 4.5 million hits on domestic violence, overcome domestic violence. I got 5 million hits in less than a half a second. But the hotline for help is 1-800-799-SAFE. And that is 1-800-799-7233. Because some of the things you need to know, if you're in a domestic violence situation, oftentimes the person who's abused does seem to minimize it. Number one, we want you to know that it is against the law. It's a crime. And it's not only against the law, but it's against the person that you're doing things. And it is not the individual's fault that is, you know, being called a loser or you're low life or being accused that you bring out the worst in me. The other thing we need to know is that domestic violence also hurts others in the family, especially the children. They can become next generations of those who are abusers or those who get abused. So the remedy is to seek help and to remove yourself. Oftentimes there are warning signs to the domestic violence. And in fact, I believe our caller's online, Miss Lucia. Good morning.
Yes.
How
good
are
morning.
You this morning? Good to, for you to call in.
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. And did you get a chance to hear our introduction?
Yes, I did.
Good, good, good. You got to speak up just a little bit. The monitors are not as hot as your voice. And so just kind of project just a little bit. There you go. I knew I can get a smile out of you. But some of the warning signs of domestic violence are the root causes oftentimes that, you know, many of the experts are saying is often in people who have lived through it. They say that it's jealousy or a controlling person. And in your experience and working with those who have been abused, how is that accurate, or what do you think about that?
Completely, 100% accurate, and very damaging emotionally, psychologically, physically, in every arena of your life, it affects your life.
And how about the effect on children? Have you found that it does affect them or not?
It does affect them. It makes them very angry. It causes mm-hmm. them to do things that they normally would not do. It changes their behavior completely. After a while, after a long period of time, after they've been abused, they will turn on the parent who's being abused because they feel that the parent that is being abused should not be abused and that they should know better and to get out of the situation. But the children don't understand how deep physical, emotional, psychological violence, they don't understand the cycle of it.
The cycle of violence. Now, and you bring up a very interesting point, too. Even though they know they're in a very volatile, violent situation that often turns deadly, the question is, why do they stay?
Well, there are many reasons why women stay. Women stay for the simple fact is that, number one, they didn't save any money.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in an abusive relationship, the first thing a woman should do is to begin saving money, putting it aside, putting things, her clothes, little pieces of children's clothes, things, and somewhere where the abuser or an abuser's family knows what she's doing, and just, excuse me, I'm sorry, I have so much on my mind about it. Can you repeat that question?
One of the reasons is you said that economics is one of the reasons why women stay. And
Yes, go ahead. Money. They stay because of money, because the economy is bad.
Yes.
And they are afraid to go out on their own. They think they may not be able to survive. They think they may not be able to pay their car note. They may not have a place to stay or to live. They may not have any relatives who care about them. They may not have any family members at all. They may not have anybody but them and their kids. And when they take off, where are they going to go? So they are afraid. Mainly, it's fear. Fear of leaving. Mm-hmm. Fear that he might find you. Fear that he may hurt the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of time, abuser, one of the main things he uses is that I will hurt the kids, I will hurt the cat or the dog, and I'll beat them all, and then I'll kill you. That's why.
And so it becomes such a cycle of violence that they feel like they're incompetent or they're not financially stable in order to make a move. One lady said to me, it's easier to fight a known enemy than the unknown.
Well, that is so true, because nobody likes change and nobody wants to step into the unknown. Because nobody
and
knows
even though she was complaining about the situation, but logically she knew better, but then do you think that fear of change has anything to do with it?
I know so. Nobody likes change. fear of change, when a person doesn't have other people, don't have many friends, or what an abuser does, is he isolates the individual. And once he isolates the individual and the children, then he's able to attack them in more ways than one, so many different ways. He affects their mind. So if you affect the mind and you control that mind, the body will follow. And
now,
it's really...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
One of the things that they said, some of the warning signs of not only being jealous, but being very controlling and manipulative.
Yes. It's all about power and control. And the abuser knows exactly what he is doing, and that's no joke. They pretend like they don't know what they're doing, but they do know all along what they're doing. So I want the women to know they say they're sorry. It's a cycle. They say they're sorry. It's a cycle. It's a wheel. They're sorry. They use intimidation. They use emotional abuse. They use isolation. They minimize denying and blaming. They use the children against you. They use male privilege. They use economic abuse. They use coercion and threat. And once we get around that wheel, then it's time for lovemaking and all the roses and the flowers and all the candy, and I'm sorry, and I won't hurt you again. Then it starts to get heated up again, and the cycle starts right over again, just like a merry-go-round. And the woman wants off the merry-go-round, but she doesn't know how to get off because she has this manipulative, abusive individual who is constantly echoing in her ear, which is attached to her heart, and her heart, which is attached to her mind. And it's just, they try to control that, so that you never go anywhere. They will threaten to take away everything you have. They will threaten your life. So there's always a factor of fear, the fear factor. And that also keeps a woman in a very bad situation. And if she does not get out and of this situation, it gets worse and worse and worse. It does not get better. He always promises to get better. He promises to change. But remember this, he never has made any mistakes. He never will tell you that he's sorry for what he did to you. Because he's not sorry, because he knows exactly what he's doing. Tell you.
You're listening to Help Somebody, and we're on the air right now. Exit Stage Left, Overcome Domestic Violence. And one of the ways that many have been able to overcome domestic violence is just to shed a little light. As we're hearing from Sister Lucia, she's sharing that so many things are done in the dark, the manipulation, the control, the jealousy, ridiculed in front of others, shamed, put down in front of your children, beat down into the dark, and then it creates a cycle of violence that becomes repetitive, that now the abuser begins to apologize, bring flowers and candy, and maybe take you to a nice place or buy you a new washer and a dryer to manipulate and ultimately control, keeping the cycle going. One of the ways that we have been able to overcome this is, first of all, to believe in yourself and to believe that you can overcome and step out on faith. One of the solutions that what are some of the solutions that you have found to be useful in talking to some abused people?
Well, to try to find some agency that will be able to help them and help them to get out of the situation and not to let anyone know that they have contacted an agency. There are many agencies out there. It can be called. There's a number of 211. I don't know in each city if it's different, but there are different. There are many ways to get in touch with domestic violence agencies, and that's the best thing to do so that you can get a counselor and an advocate. And an advocate can help any woman out of a situation if she's willing to get out of the situation. There's a flip side to the abusive individual, the violence, the physical violence and the sexual violence. There's another will, and it's nonviolent, and it does exist where you can have a good relationship. You don't have to be in a violent relationship. You don't have to be afraid that you can't find somebody else, or you don't look good enough for someone else, or you don't have enough skill set, or you don't have enough money, or you're not this or you're not that. Yes, you're everything and all things that God has called you to be. So you don't have to accept that. You can accept the goodness that God has intended for you. There's another will, and it's a nonviolent will, and it's called equality. And in that, there's negotiation and fairness. There's non-threatening behavior. There's respect, trust, and support, honesty and accountability, responsible parenting, shared responsibility, an economic partnership.
Wow, that is so powerful. And one of the things I think that often keeps the cycle of abuse going, not only for the abused, but the abuser as well, is living in the dark and having limited options, limited choices, thinking that I'm in I'm speaking from the point of the abuser now, that I have a negative situation. I'm in a bad marriage, or I'm in a bad job, or I'm in a bad situation, and so I'm now becoming a bad person in my own household and abusing those who I'm supposed to love. And the problem becomes now, gets compiled if there's alcohol and drug abuse involved, because now it can be a depressant. It can lead into different mental states that become hopeless, and people feel helpless. Yes. But there is one of the things that we can do, and 'cause we want to concentrate more on the overcoming the domestic violence, and there is help for that, to know that yes, there is equality and there's a responsible self that we have to be responsible for ourselves, to believe in ourselves, and to step out on faith, even if we have to go and live in a shelter for women or a shelter for women and children. One of the things that also came to mind with different agencies is because so much stuff is done in the dark, and there's no conversations on this. The conversations are very hidden, and oftentimes because the abusers can become deadly. So for those that may have areas, churches, temples, mosques, any place where people gather, one of the ways to get the word out if a woman is in an abusive situation is to have a box in the restroom that allows for her to put a note that she needs help, who she is, it's confidential, I'm in a bad situation, and then that way the message can get out without the abuser knowing it. One of the other things to know, too, is that whenever you visit a site on a website, computer use, it can be tracked and it can be monitored, and it is totally impossible to clear everything from a computer other than just destroying the hard drive completely with a sledgehammer. So the thing is to know that if you're in an abusive situation, to seek help. But first of all, don't make your situation any worse by seeking help in an unprotected situation. Find an agency. Find someone who is a listening ear. And now I kind of want to switch the conversation. Go ahead.
Someone that you can trust. You have to be able to trust them because it's a very dangerous thing. A woman can be very easily killed because these abusers are very, very violent, and they believe that you are their property.
Yes.
And they just they know what they are doing. They are very aware of it. And one thing we miss, it doesn't care where it stops. It's the rich, the poor, the black, the white, Christians. It also affects the Christians. And we don't talk about that.
Yeah, it's not germane or just held to one religion or non-religion or anything like that. Anybody can be abused. And it's kind of like if we're getting down towards the end of the conversation, we've got about 9 or 10 minutes left. And some of the things you can do, maybe you're not in an abusive situation. Maybe you're a friend who you know someone who has been abused. And some of the things that they say that is good in those situations is to listen. First of all, do not judge the other person by, you know, saying very insensitive things like, how could you let yourself get in a position like that? And why would you let that go on? And those are really negative things that can put the abused individual on defense and also cause them to clam up. And that's not immediately, you don't want to do that. And immediately, you don't want to just try to take the lead and call the police or go out and attack the abuser. But the way to help, first of all, is to listen and to be present for that person. Be very careful because oftentimes we can get triangulated into a domestic situation that can be very harmful. The example I'm thinking about, I had a friend of mine. Sarah were friends. This is Ricky and Sarah. They went to high school together. They grew up together. Sarah later married John. And, well, John and Sarah were in a fight. And Sarah had called my buddy Ricky. Ricky went over there to try to calm the domestic violence down. Unfortunately, John and Ricky got into a fight, and Ricky started getting the best of Sarah's husband. At that point, Sarah felt for John. Believe it or not, she took a pan and hit Ricky in the head. So we have to be very careful about being triangulated into the middle. We want to listen. We want to be present. We want to befriend an individual. But you don't want to be a busybody that often gets in the middle of a situation. Some of the things we can do is see the signs of abuse. We can ask them. Oftentimes when you see someone who's been abused, you see it all the time on TV, oh, I fell down. And you ask them, usually they deny it or they minimize it. But you can give them an opportunity and a chance to ask you and seek for your help and share. Number one, that being abused is not your fault. Oftentimes there is a cycle of abuse and we are contributory to the abuse, but the situation remains the same, that we have to be able to get out of the situation and not to perpetuate the cycle of violence. One of the things that often comes to mind is that, Ms. Lucia, people feel hopeless and they think that there's no way out. What could you tell someone who is hopeless and they feel helpless?
I would say to believe in themselves and to trust God, to know that they can overcome anything, that there's nothing that can keep them from doing what they need to do with themselves. If they believe, they're beat down so much that they don't believe in anything, they become numb. That is what it is. So numb that it doesn't really, she doesn't feel anymore. She doesn't really, she's just so numb. So just to know that she can do it, there's nothing impossible, that she can get away from someone that is hurting her and hurting her children, and that could change their lives for the rest of their lives, and then she has to look at her children when they're grown up and watch them go through the same cycle, and she's suffering even all over again, even her children. No.
So even times when we know that this cycle of abuse is overwhelming and we don't see any way out, there is hope as long as there is life. I worked on the railroad for many years, and I met a lady who had spent much time, over 20 years, in a marriage that she said was the last 17 or 18 years she was ready to leave. And the man was so manipulative, so controlling. They lived in Hawaii. They lived on a military base. She never got to see any of the tourist attractions or anything like that because he wanted to control each and every moment, an deal that even came to her mind. After 22 years of being with this abusive man, she had scrimped and saved $3,500, and she wanted to go on a train ride across the country. That's when I met her. And that lady, I could see the look in her eye that even though she was going through, she had got out of that situation, and she finally was able to live her life. And there's a poem a lady wrote, and it's called Dying to Live. And she said, first I was dying to grow up and go to school. Then I was dying to graduate from high school, and then I was dying to get a job, and then I was dying to see my kids, and then I was dying to see them grow up and graduate, and then I was dying to retire, and then finally she said, now I've gotten to the end of my life and I really am dying, and I never had an opportunity to live. So we have to find a way. There is a program that I just found on my phone, and it's called Former Memory Cleaner. And it actually cleans the programs that leave scraps of information on your random access memory, your immediate memory that you access to live through life or to make your phone operate. And so being that we have these memories that need to be clean, one way to identify them is, how do we look at life? How do we present life to ourselves? And how do we re-present life? Do we look at life as saying it's a thing of drudgery, it's a thing of hardness and isolation, and it's dim and dark, and, oh, man, I just got to go to this job, it's a J-O-B, and it's killing me? And or do we look at it and say that I can represent this life, represent it to myself better, that even though I may have the same job and I'm flipping burgers or working as a greeter, but it is a stepping stone to my better life, or if I'm in an abusive relationship, that I am figuring a way to either correct it or change it and move out of it? And so how do we represent this life? Is this thing all dim and gray and black, or do I have bright colors in my life? So pinks and oranges and blues, and do I hear the birds chirping and the sounds, or do I hear life happening around me in such a way that it's sustaining, nurturing me, uplifting? And if it doesn't, then how does that look to me? How does it look when I allow myself to be less than who I am as a person? And we have to regain that sense of somebodiness, that sense of strength. And when we're able to do those kind of things, then we're able to create a new reality. We can see our way out. There's no more victim mentality. There's no more that I'm a victim of circumstance, but I have a survivor's will to live. And there comes a point when we have to decide, I am going to live. I don't have to be abused, because nobody needs any help to be broke, miserable, or alone. And I'll let you get down to your final words. We're coming down on the close of the show. Miss Lucia, I sure appreciate you calling in. I look forward to it. Next week, we've got another show. In fact, and it may even come up before next week, so tune in to the website at blogtalk.com, Help Somebody, or you can look on the Facebook at Help Somebody, and I'm Carl with a K, last name White. But we're going to focus on how to use the worst of life to make the best of life. Your final thoughts on Exit, Stage Left, Overcome Domestic Violence, Miss Lucia.
It's for the ladies to know that it's not their fault. They didn't create any of these problems, and that they can survive. Their children can survive. They can make it. And they don't have to be broken down by anyone. And when a man tells you, you can take it or leave it, because this is the way I am, leave it. Make a quick exodus as soon as you can. And that's it for now.
And we sure appreciate you sharing this morning and allowing women to look in the abusive persons. And just want to put in there, too, it's not only women that are abused. Women are the majority of those who are abused. Children are second, but they have men as well.
Men, too. The men are also abused.
Yes. And so if you know the warning signs, if you're in a manipulative, controlling, jealous, selfish, self-centered type of love, where there's more love of self than there is love for the relationship or love to make it grow, then that is something you definitely want to get out of. But what does life look like to you? How does it exist? We can create a new reality. You can see your way out. There's no victim mentality, but a survivor's will to live. When you see it for yourself, you have the vision to see, the faith to believe it, take the courage to step out and do it. This is Carl, and I help somebody, trying to make somebody to grow and to go. If you have any questions, visit our website, helpsomebody.net. It's still in progress. Keep checking back. Go on Facebook. Leave me a message at facebook.com/helpsomebody. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/helpsomebody. You have a great day and make the best of your life. Remember, life is never what happens to you. Life is always what we make life to be. You're large, you're in charge. Always do your best to be your best, knowing that no one, no excuse for violence or any abuse. This is Help Somebody. We thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in again. God bless, and we'll talk to you again.